Just going to take a moment to reminisce a little bit about the late Dr. Albert, or Albie Hornblass, Zichrono Livracha. I was shocked as anyone when we saw it, the obituary in the paper on Wednesday. Since I just saw him last week outside the Kol Yom Rishon, together with his brother, a judge, Jerome Hornblass. I know they're both, well, unfortunately I was sitting shiva for him, I know they were both regulars at the Kol Yom Rishon. Dr. Hornblass and I go back to actually Yeshiva Elementary School. We weren't in the same class, I think we were a year apart. And then Yeshiva High School, and BTA, and Yeshiva College. Dr. Hornblass was a highly respected ophthalmologist, actually a major figure in the field, well known as an Orthodox Jew, proud Orthodox Jew who made impact on many others. Also, his time when he was a doctor in Vietnam and he took over for a Jewish chaplain, he had wonderful stories about blowing shofar in Vietnam. The people who come together to learn, as in the Kol Yom Rishon, become a sort of a family. And over time, you get to recognize each other, you get to know each other a little bit. So it's a loss in our family. And Yehi Zichro Baruch. When my wife was studying for her doctorate in English literature, somehow one of the conversations we had was how a medrash had become very important in the world of Renaissance literature and in art as well. And it's that particular medrash that I'm going to start with. It's based on a quotation from Tehillim, which I didn't put on the Marmakom separately because I put the Medrash, but I want to read to you from the Tehillim first. It's Kapitel Pei Hei, and the Psukim, the Pasuk says, Chesed ve'emes nifgashu, Tzedek ve'shalom nashaku, Emes me'eretz titzmach, V'tzedek mishamayim nishkof. Right, the pasuk says that the two qualities of chesed and emes will get together, nifgashu, they'll meet each other. And tzedek and shalom nashaku, and the qualities of tzedek and shalom will kiss each other. Right. The pasuk then says, emes mi'eretz tismach, that the truth will grow out of the earth, and tzedek mishamayim nishkaf, and the tzedek will come down from the shamayim. This was known in the time of the Renaissance as the four virtues, right? And I didn't translate them intentionally, because we'll see how the Medrash understood. So let's go to our first Maramaka. And we'll see, by the way, that relates to the Chumash. Amrav Simon, b'shah sheba Kadosh Baruch Hu livros es Adam harishon, nasu malachei hashoreis kitim kitim, v'chaburos chaburos. When God intended to create the first man, Adam harishon, the malachim divided into different groups. Mehem amru al yibare, mehem amru yibare. Some of the groups of the angels said, "Don't create man," and some said, "Yes, create man." And that's what the Ahud Ksiv, that's the pasuk in Tehillim that I just read to you. Chesed v'emes nifgashu, tzedek v'shalom nashaku. And from the context of the pasuk that chesed and emes are getting together, the Rav Medrash interpreted that at one point Chesed and Emes were not together. There must have been another opposite sides. From the second half of the pasuk, that Tzedek and Shalom Nashaku, again, the assumption is that at one point Tzedek and Shalom were in opposite camps. Right? So what is it? Chesed Omer Yiborei. Chesed, the Midah of Chesed, kindness, grace, said man should be created Shugom El Chasadim, because man does acts of chesed, of kindness. The emes omer al yivarei shekulo shkarim. But the truth said, no, we don't. Man is not worthy of being created because he's not honest. He's full of lies. Tzedek omer yivarei sheoset stokos. Interesting that tzedek here is not translated as justice but as charity. Tzedek and stokko, which is an interesting topic on its own right, when the term is used in Tanakh, whether it means what we use for tzedek or it means more the range of stokko. So tzedek says he should be created because he's going to give charity. Shalom omer al yibarei dekulei k'datem. Peace says, no, don't create man because he's endless human conflicts, there's no harmony in this world. So what's the problem? Well, you have a tie vote, right? Two say yes, and two say no. Those of you who have learned Masechet Sanhedrin certainly know that you're not allowed to have a Bez and Shokel. You can't have a court with an equal number, with an even number of members, because you need the opportunity to get a majority vote on one side or the other to make a decision. But if you have an even number, you can get a tie vote. See, here we have the imagery of somehow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been consulting these categories of angels, and he's stuck, right? Two categories say, create man, two say not, Bez and Shokel, what do you do? So what happens? You look at the next pasuk. So with the pasuk of Eretz Titzmach implies that somehow the truth got buried in the ground beforehand, as we'll see in the quote of Pasuk Daniel. Ma'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu Natal Emes V'Shlicho La'aretz. Ahu Diksiv in Daniel Batishlach Emes Arzo. So now he says, okay, I threw the truth to the ground, and now I have a 2-1 vote. Right? I've eliminated, the Kadosh Baruch Hu somehow eliminated truth from the debate. We're down to, so we only have one of the two saying don't create man, and two that say create man. Amu Malchei Hashoshana Kadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Olam Mimato Mevate Tachzis How can you throw truth? Truth is the prime quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes, right? Torah is emes, right? That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. How can of all things the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to throw to the ground? He throws the truth to the ground. Hadiksiv emes me'eretz titzmach will come up. Rabban Namele b'shem Rab Chanina v'idi Rab Pinchas Rab Chalti b'shem Rab Simon Omar Tov Ma'od Hu Adam Hu Diksev Yalam Es Kol Shorasov Hinei Tov Ma'od Hinei Tov Adam Rav Huna Rabba B'tzorama Ad Shemalachi Asharas Medainin Eilu Im Eilu Misaskin Eilu Im Eilu Bero HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omar Lehem Atem Medainin Kvarnasa Adam. So even though Emes comes back up, while the Malachim are debating back and forth, I skipped a little line between. Kadosh Baruch Hu said it's too late, right? He's already created. There's nothing to talk about. It's already done. All right. Now the truth is that Kadosh Baruch Hu could have chosen to throw Shalom to the ground and put peace into the ground. Why did he pick Emes? It had one of the two, right? I know it's just imagery, but there's a point to the imagery. And what I'm going to be speaking about, this is all, you know, introduction, is the balance between emes and shalom, right? Which one HaKadosh Baruch Hu seemed to prefer, around how they're supposed to interact. But I'm going to do so in the context of Chumash. It's the actual quote is from this past week's Sedra, the one we read yesterday, but the it goes through the from beginning of Shmos through Yetzias Mitzrayim, the interaction of Moshe and Aaron, right? We knew in Parsha Shmos that Moshe is reluctant to accept the responsibility to be the person to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the end, says, I'm going to give you Aaron to work with you, and through the process of the 10 plagues, it's a joint action of Moshe and Aaron. Now, in the, what we read yesterday, in the era, there is a beginnings of a listing of the families of the Jews that stops at Levi when it gets to Moshe and Aaron. And then there are a few psukim. It's Perek Vav, Pasuk Chavav, Chavzayin, and Chavzayin. Hu Aaron uMoshe Shomar Hashem Lehem Otzio Es Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim Al Tzivo Osam. Hu, it's like it's singular, not even plural. It's Aaron and Moshe that God spoke to them to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Heim HaMedabrim, now it's Heim, two of them. Medabrim El Paramech, Mitzrayim Otzio Es Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim. Hu, the singular again, Moshe Va'aron. So Rashi noticed that, aside from the repetition, goes back and forth. At one place it's Aaron or Moshe, Aaron first, and then Moshe, and the other place it's Moshe first and then Aaron. So Rashi says, and that's in the Marmakoma, so Rashi, Hu Aaron or Moshe, Elu Shehuzgru Lamala, Sheyolda Yocheved LaAmram, Hu Aaron or Moshe. Yesh Makoma Shemakdim Aaron LaMoshe, the Yesh Makoma Shemakdim Moshe LaAaron, Lomelecha Sheshkulin Ke'echod. There are some places where Aaron's name is mentioned first, and then Moshe, in the Pasuk Chavav, the very next Pasuk, Hu Moshe LaAaron, we find Moshe's name is sent first, and then Aaron, and that's to teach us that they're balanced like one. Shkulim means of equal weight. Right? Equal weight. So all the Mefarshi Rashi are bothered by the Rashi. And for the obvious question, we know that they weren't equal. Moshe Rabbeinu, Lakom Bisrael, Kemoshe Od. Moshe was at a higher level. And from the very outset, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe and asked Moshe to be the leader, and he said, then your brother, Aharna, Achicha Yenaviyacha, Aharna's going to be your prophet. So it means that Moshe is the primary figure and Aharon the secondary one. So there are many answers given to the question. And I'm going just to select one that fits in the theme that I've started talking about. And that is that Moshe and Aaron are seen as representing these two qualities of Emes and Shalom. And as such, they're balanced. That's the balance of Emes and Shalom. Where did I get this idea? Because the Gemara says so. So that's our third, the third source. But it's not the first line of the Gemara. The second line of the Gemara. Let me give you the background of the Gemara, because it's very important. I gave you a whole, most of an Amud there. In dealing with a monetary dispute between two parties, if the two parties agree to go to Beis Din, to the rabbinic court, to solve the dispute, the rabbinic court functionally, and I'm speaking now from a limited but personal experience from being an occasional member of a Beis Din, will offer them two possibilities, din and pshara. Din means we will follow the dictates of Chayshin Mishpat of the Shulchan Aruch and come to a conclusion who's going to win the case. Pshara means, and there are different terms, whether pshara is, I see in the article they translate it as compromise. The Rav didn't like the term compromise for pshara. It's some kind of mediation, some kind of accommodation, some process that takes into account both sides and tries to balance the two and come up with a decision that will reflect the fact that there's some truth on both sides of the dispute. Even though in an actual, when you come to the Shulchan Aruch, invariably it's going to come out on one side or the other, but through pshara you come on some kind of a balanced view. I don't like the term compromise. The Rav didn't like the term compromise because compromise implies that you always split it 50-50, right? You have a compromise. I want $100. You don't want to give me anything. We'll make it 50-50. When Bezdin does the pshara, it doesn't necessarily come out 50-50. It will come out with a something usually less than 100%, 0%, but reflecting that one side is stronger, has a stronger case than the other, and some balancing of the two. Obviously, there will be cases where you can give where you won't give someone anything, because otherwise you'll just allow anyone for frivolous claims to come to court and say, I want pshara, so you'll get something. You know, so you win something out of it instead of nothing at all. But in general, because in life, usually there's some justice on both sides. The Gemara has a very lengthy discussion about whether this is a good idea or not. Use pshara instead of din. Is it better? Is it worse? And we'll see the discussion. But very early in the discussion, the Gemara relates it to Moshe and Aaron. And the Gemara says the following. It said we... I'll come back to the first line. All right. Well, maybe I should at the start begin just to get the context. All right. Digma adin iata rashay levtzoa. Bitzua is another term used by the Gemara for pshara. It actually has other interpretations we'll see in the Gemara as well, but it's used as an equivalent term to pshara. So the Bryce had said beforehand that the option of pshara is open until you've actually basically completed the case. Once Bezdin has determined that one side wins, it's too late to make a pshara. Once you've decided, it's too late. So the Gemara says, it's a nigmar adin, once you made a decision, right? It's too late to make a conflict. It's been done already, no longer can make a pshara. So Rabbi Lazar, Benosha, Besme, Agli, Omer, Osir, B'tzal. So not just there, you should never make a compromise, because what do you mean you make a pshara? The din is the din, you have to follow whatever the din says. We call her Botseya Harezechote. People who offer some kind of accommodations to be used, when they come, instead of saying the real din, it's a sin. They're sinners. We call her Mevorech Es Botseya Harezeminites. And if people praise them for making a pshara, that's terrible. It's disgusting. And he has a post. Azen Nema Botseya Beirach Noat Hashem. That God is angry at anybody who blesses someone who's Botseya. We'll see that the Gemara has other interpretations. Elo, so what's the alternative? The famous phrase, Yikev Hadin Esaha. Right? Let the purity of the din break through the mountain. No matter what the obstacle is concerned, you just follow the din wherever the din takes you. Absolute. And not only that, Shenemar ki mishpat lelokim hu. Because mishpat is what God wants. Right? Mishpat, justice, not some kind of compromise accommodation. V'chein Moshe haya omer Yikov ha-dinesahar. And who symbolized the absolute dedication to truth, no compromise? That was Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe said, Moshe was the one who said, Yikov ha-dinesahar. Aval Aaron, but Moshe's brother Aaron, now Aaron was different. Ohev shalom, v'rodev shalom, Omesim shalom ben adam mechavera. Because he loved peace, and he ran after peace, and he created peace between one man and his other. Shenema, toras emes hoysa befihu, v'avlo onimtza b'sfosav, v'sholom v'mishav holach iti, v'rabim heishiv mi'ovam. It's very interesting. It starts with toras emes, Torah of truth was in his mouth, and no avlod, anything wrong was not found in his lips. He went with peace and straightness. He walked with me, and he saved many people from sin. Right? And when Perek goes on, explains this, that he would run after people, and you know, even distort the truth to saying the other fellow really knows that you're right. And he's willing to make a compromise with you to both sides, even though the people had not agreed to anything. You know, he's willing to compromise. Why shouldn't you be willing to compromise? And therefore, he made peace between the two sides. So, which I'm suggesting, it's not my pshat in the Rashi, that the shkulim is because Emes and Shalom are equivalent. That's one of the pshatim given to explain the Rashi, how Moshe and Aaron, because those qualities are on this, are balanced. But let's see how the Gemara plays it out in terms of Dinim Shara. And what we find here is something most unusual. What's most unusual is, and in fact, there are a number of places where you find something that's approximates this, and Tosfos always asks that it can't be. And that is, that when you have a machlokes, so normal machlokes is when the two views differ, but they're in the same ballpark, so to speak. Where someone says it's a mitzvah, yeah, well, it's not a mitzvah, it's only rishus. Or someone says it's asur, and the other one says, no, it's permissible. But you won't find a machlokes where one says it's a mitzvah to do it, and the other one says, chas v'shalom, it's asa to do it. It's too far apart. And Tosfos is always bothered when the Gemara has a machlokes that goes to extremes. But here we have a machlokes that goes to extremes. The first view of Rebbe Elazar ben Osher ben Yossi Hagli says, asa l'btzoa. Because if you have to follow the din. And the pshara, by its very definition, is not going to be absolutely the din. Because the din is either going to be that one side wins or the other side wins. It's not going to be, it's not shnei marchim betalas, so they get half. So the pshara is going to mean that you accommodate both views, and you're going to get, say, someone gets 70%, someone gets 30%. Din never came out that way. Can't be. That's not going to be the din. So it's also to do it. So the Gemara then goes a slight tangent to how to explain the pasuk according to all those who say that pshara is not a bad thing, but it's a good thing. So Gemara has two other interpretations. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, we'll see Rabbi Eliezer is one of the people who says you should do pshara. Harei shegazal sa'ah shel chitim v'tochna v'ofa v'hifrish mimena chala keitzen mevarech ein zeh mevarech l'minayim. Rabbi Eliezer says the pasuk doesn't refer to compromising. The more refers to a in this context means is stealing. Rashi explains why. It means if someone steals grain and converts it into bread, so normally we would say, to get into it, she was learning Merubah, you're kind of b'shinui, right? You the person who stole the grain by doing the whole process of winnowing out and then grinding and then breaking into bread, he's changed it from the original form, so then he owns it. So even though he still has to pay for the value of the grain that he stole, as far as the grain is concerned, it's his. He was Kona B'Shinu, right? He made all these changes. See, so Rabbi Lezer says that's true as far as ownership is concerned, but he can't make a bracha. If he makes a bracha on that which he acquired through stealing, even though halachically it's his, because he was kona, with all the shinuyim, all the changes that he made in it, it's still disgusting. How can you use God's name on something you acquired through stealing? So he explains the pasuk differently. Rabbi Meir on there, lo nema botseya ala keneged Yehuda. No, that's a different kind of compromising. Right? Compromising sometimes is bad. But not talking about Pshara, it's talking about Yehuda. What was Yehuda? B'vayom Yehuda Echov, because he used Ma'betza ki naragas achinu, v'amavarech is Yehuda reza minayim. So, al zenem abotzeh berach na'at Hashem. It's Yehuda who went to the brothers and said, what value is it for us to kill our brother? We could sell him and we can make a profit on the deal. So even though he prevented the brothers from killing Yosef, the notion that, you know, we should, his way of doing it by saying it turned it into a business transaction, we'll sell our brother and make the profit, that was terrible. So what Reb Meir seems to say is Botzeya does refer to someone who is making some kind of compromise, but there are occasions where making some kind of compromise is terrible. First of all, the nature of the compromise, right? Instead of killing him, we'll just sell him into slavery. Very nice compromise, right? And we'll get a profit on the deal, right? But it may be more than that. The different mepharshim explain it, that compromising sometimes is acceptable and sometimes is not. You have to make a judgment. So now we go back to Pshara. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Omer, mitzvah libtzara. Right? I said this is the extreme. We had Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, says asur. Right? And now we have Rabbi Lazar saying, not that's mutter, but it's a mitzvah to do it. Right? One extreme to the other. Why is it? What's the mitzvah? Shenemar. Emes u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sha'areichem. It says truth, justice, and peace you should judge in your gates, and that's sha'areichem is referred to the dayanim, right? Shoftim v'shotrim, you should pray in your sha'areichem, in the gates, that's the gates of justice. So it says you can't have both. Hello, b'makom sheish mishpat ain shalom, b'makom sheish shalom ain mishpat. You have to get one or the other, right? If you have mishpat, you're not going to have peace because one's going to win and one's going to lose. If you have shalom, then you're not going to have mishpat. Ella eizehu mishpat sheish bo shalom, have a omer zibitzua. Where can you get mishpat that gives you shalom? When you make a pshara. When you make a pshara, so then you have taken the dayanim have taken to account both sides, principles of equity, justice. They don't arbitrarily make the compromise. In fact, usually in a Beis Din we use the phrase pshara smucha ledin. Sure, that's close to din. And you first try to figure out what the din is, and then you will take in account various considerations on each side to balance it. So that's mishpat and shalom. It's not strict mishpat, it's a mishpat that incorporates within it the concept of shalom. V'chein b'David hu omer v'hi David oseh mishpat utztaka. David did mishpat, justice, and tzedakah, and charity. Same question. Utstaka ain't mishpat. One or the other. Can't do both. Ella eizu mishpat sheish bo tztaka. Havi omer ze bitzua. So now comes the problem on the other side. What are those who say you don't make pshar? You always have to do din. It said David did mishpat tztaka. Right? We have a pasuk before in Zechariah, is you have mishpat and shalom. So how do you have mishpat and tzedakah, mishpat and shalom if you don't do pshara? And if you're going to stick to the strict letter of the din, you're going to have a winner and a loser. So where's the shalom? Where's the tzedakah? So the Gemara explains. As the Tanakam, donas adin zikas azakai b'chiei v'sachayev, the Rosh and Ischayev Oni Mamon, the Shilem Lo Mitoch Beso Ze Mishpat Tztaka. So there's a different way of getting Mishpat Tztaka. The Dayan looks at the case, and when you deal with the case, just like you can't favor the wealthy, you're not allowed to favor the poor. Psukim in the Torah, it's an Issa. Right? Justice is justice. It's right. Doesn't take account whether someone is wealthy or poor. But what if you see, the Dayan sees, when he finishes the case, that the poor guy is going to lose? So he has to do the din as it is. But the Dayan will then take money out of his pocket and give tzedakah, and he'll give something to the poor person, because the poor person is going to be without anything. So that's mishpat tzedakah. The mishpat is that he passed in the din, and the base of the din, the rich man wins, and the tzedakah is, you have to have a pretty wealthy dayan to do this, the dayan then gives some money to the poor person for tzedakah, because he's lost the case and he's poor to start out with. Alright? Mishpat lezeh she'echzil ha'mamon, the tzedakah lezeh she'shirim la'mitach beisa. Okay, so we'll skip it. But the pasuk in David says, "Osa mishpat tztaka lechol amo." Right? It's lechol amo in the pasuk. So it's not lechol amo. That's a tztaka for the poor. Vaniyim, but you actually gave them the money they lost in the case. But the pasuk in David, the second pasuk quoted, didn't quote the whole pasuk. I was emesh mishpat v'sholom lechol amo, to the whole people. So why is it sholom to everybody? So Rabbi gives a different sholom. Hay lechol amo yini mibayi, ela Rabbi omer, it is Rabbi omer, just stam, ava pishol shilei mitoch beiso, zeh mishpat utztaka. Mishpat lezeh utztaka lezeh. Mishpat lezeh sheech zela mimona. So he says, no, it is stock, and it is shalom. Why? Because the person, nobody really in the end will be happy if he has something that doesn't belong to him, that he has stolen money in his property. So it's mishpat for the one who gets his money back, and it's stockard for the other one, not in the sense of charity, but in the sense of righteousness and appropriateness and harmony, because he now knows that he got treated properly, then he lost, but the money is not, he doesn't have any stolen money, he has only clean money in his hands. Right? That when you come out with the proper din, so that produces harmony also, because you did it properly. And everybody knows that what they have is what they earned, and if they don't get to keep it, then Torah, because they don't shouldn't get it, because you followed halacha properly. So we have these two perspectives here, right? One saying, no. Preferably is pshara, right? You give the weight and the balance to finding harmony. And even though, in a sense, the MS is going to lose out, because you're not going to end up with the strict din, because you're always going to make some kind of accommodation and no one's going to get the full amount, But people will feel better knowing when they came out of court, you know, that their tainus will listen to. And listen to doesn't mean only someone heard the words, they took them seriously, and they gave them some credibility, and they get something out of it. And the other view says, yeah. The Simishura Sadin is Pshara. Now, but the Gemara says that, then the Gemara has a long, continued discussion of it. Righteous midon, right? Lifnei is gala hariv nitosh. Kodem shnei gala hariv atiyachol nitosho. Mishnei is gala hariv atiyachol nitosho. I don't know if I quoted this Gemara. Yeah. So the Gemara, we have another view. Says it depends. When people first come, before they've explained their positions, and you know who's going to win the din Torah, and you figured out who's right and who's wrong. Then you're permitted, right? We had mitzvah and asur, now it's rashoi. You're permitted to suggest them an alternate way of dealing with it. Suggest them, instead of one extreme or the other, let's do pshara. Let's do pshara. But once you know the din, it's too late, right? Because then there's already an element of dishonesty, the Beis Din, because the Beis Din knows. In other words, as long as I haven't heard the tainus yet, or I have heard the tainus, but I didn't examine all the appropriate halachic sources, and I don't know what conclusion we're going to arrive at, I can recommend using pshara. But once I know, it's too late, right? Because I already know the din. Once you know the din, you have no right to drop the din once you know the truth. Right. So you find this whole debate on what is better and what you should do. Should we follow the MS? Or should we follow the Pshara, which in essence is the Shalom? And this is not just a theoretical discussion. This applies in every Beis Din. Not only, you know, the time of the Gemara, but Bizman HaZeh. You know, halachically, we're supposed to take our monetary disputes to Beis Din and not to secular courts. If you take your dispute to the Beis Din will offer you the option of Pshara or Din. And in almost all the cases that I know of, they will follow, right, as I said, Pshara Samach Ladin, they won't follow. Then it's only when people are so convinced that they're right, and that there's no question, you know, that they take Din. You know, in a certain sense, when you have a dispute in the Beis Din, and you want Din, I don't know if it's a good term to use, but you're rolling the dice, right? Because it's extreme, because you'll either win everything or lose everything. If you follow Pshara, so you're going to come somewhere between the two, so you're not going to walk out empty-handed. Something's going to happen. Yeah? Alright, yeah, Bezin can't force anybody to do Pshara, because Din is Din. Now, a fascinating conclusion of the Gemara on the next Amud, which I didn't put in the notes because I was going quickly, and deals with which is better, in a sense, in a very strange sense. Right? One would imagine, and I gave the Gemara about Yehuda, that the answer should also be, it depends. Right? In most monetary disputes, most disputes between people, there is some justice on each side, even though from a technical legal perspective, whether halachic or secular court, or whatever legal perspective, one side will win, but from the perspective of a broader notion of equity and justice, there's some right on both sides. Normally in disputes, there's some right on both sides, and therefore the option of pshara makes perfect sense to take into consideration the fact that each side has some element of what's right, even if they won't win the case, literally. But there are situations, right? The brothers want to sell Yosef. They want to kill their brother. So Pshara is saying we'll only, you know, sell him instead of killing him is not an acceptable compromise. It's wrong for them to kill their brother. It's wrong for them to sell him. It's also wrong. That's not an acceptable compromise. One would imagine that one example of an unacceptable compromise of Aaron HaKohen was the Chet HaEgel HaZav. Let's see how the Gemara interprets it. Astonishing Gemara. On the same Pasuk, Potem Reish Zmidon. So it's on the next Amud, so I didn't put it in the notes. That's why I got all the one page. All right. So I can come up with a surprise. All right. So the Gemara said that Rav Shimon ben Menasseh says, once you know, you have no choice of compromising anymore. Upligid Rav Tanachum ben Chani Loi. The Amr Rav Tanachum ben Chani Loi. Lo nema mikrze ala kenegen maisa ega. Shenema bayar aron vayive mizbech lefonov. Right? What's vayar? What did he see? Maro. You would say he saw that the people were doing what they were doing. No. Amra binyan yafis amra balaz. Ra chur shezavuach lefonov. You know, one of the names that appear and disappear in Chumash is chur, right? At the time of the Muhammad Amalek, right? Aaron's holding up Moshe's hand from one side, Hur from the other. So Hur is on the level of, right? He's the number three in the triumvirate, right? Moshe, Aaron, and Hur. And then, where does Hur appear again? Himself is Bezalel, but Hur disappears. And Sar of Chazal was that he was killed when he tried to stop the people from making the Chet HaEgel. The people killed Hur. Right? So Aaron saw that they killed Hur. Right? Oma Ilo Shemana Lehu Hashta Avdu Li Kid Avdu Bechur. If they, you'll see, you'll see that they killed Hur, so if Aaron objects, they will kill him too. Right? So you would think it should be Moshe Nefesh. No. Umakayim bi v'mihoreg b'migdash Hashem kohen v'novid. V'lo havilei takant pasuk in Eicha avchurbin. They killed in the base of Migdash a kohen and a Navi. Hur was the Navi. They're going to kill Aaron, who's the kohen. Then there would be no takana. It's all over for the Jewish people. Mutav l'avi l'egel efsha havi l'hu takanta b'tshuva. So it's better I should make for them the egel azov, right? And that golden calf, and I worship it, because from that chait, there's still a possibility of doing tshuva. If the Gemara didn't say it, I can't imagine any of us saying, Aaron was justified, right? And justified in making the Egel HaZav, because it would have been even worse if they wouldn't have done it. Alright. What we see from this is that Chazal, at least, see these two qualities of Emes and Shalom, Moshe and Aaron, as very balanced. And the judgment involved in when to use one and when to use the other is extremely difficult to make. Now let's go back to the question I asked near the beginning. Right? It's hard to ask, you know, questions on Midrashim, which obviously the imagery of the Kitei Malachim fighting, the camps of Malachim fighting, and them is being thrown to the ground is imagery. I just want to ask the question, why wasn't Shalom thrown to the ground? Why Emes? So apparently, the Medrash is saying, of the two, the one that's most difficult is Emes. Because Emes is so strict in its demands. Yikov adin esahar. Truth is absolute. and demanding absolute truth, then the world apparently couldn't survive. So you had to throw the emes down. Even though the world was lacking both in shalom and in emes, you had to keep a chance to get shalom. With some kind of harmony, you can ultimately come to shalom, right? But if you start off with, you start off with emes in the beginning, you're not going to get with shalom. It reminds me of something I think I quoted another time. I've actually wrote this in an article on chesed ve'emes. That you find in general when the two are said together, chesed's always said first. So I heard at the Levaya for Moshe Feinstein Zatzal that Rav Alpert was one of the Maspidim, and he's told that Rav Moshe was considered a softy. People would always take advantage of Rav Moshe's kindness. And there were various situations where people would come to Rav Moshe, ask him to do things for them, and it turned out that it was really unnecessary, and he was using up Rav Moshe's time that obviously could have been spent in Limud HaTorah and doing other more important things. Rav Alpert was his Talmud. He once asked him, Rebbe, why, you know, some of these people by now you should have figured out are fakers, you know, and they're taking advantage of you. So Rav Moshe told him that it always says chesed before emes. Because if you start with chesed, eventually you can come to emes. But when you start with emes, it was strict emes, so you're never going to get to chesed. So apparently in a similar vein, you start with shalom, you have shalom first, and the emes, the eretz titzmach, the emes will then grow out of the ground later, because the strict demand of emes is such that you won't get any shalom. So you can't start with emes. That's the goal. You have to start with some kind of harmony. Right? And it's sort of parallel that you go start with the pshara. Right? When you know the truth already, when you have the ready-made din, right, if you can't ignore the emes once you know it. So therefore, before the dayanim hear the case, they say, let's try pshara. Let's do it first. That's the maskana of this whole discussion. Let's try to accommodate each other. Let's mediate. Let's find something that both of you will get something. And only later, you know, when it's, we already know the emes, then we can't compromise an emes once we know it. So in that balance between the two, though Moshe was greater than Aaron, in the end, Torah is emes, our approach is, it seems to be that we start with shalom, and then later extend it to emes. Thank you.